Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Universal Narratives podcast. This season, we are exploring foreign language education in different parts of the world, and we will start with Azerbaijan. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Sarah Jackson, the owner and a teacher at Islet Studio in Baku, to learn about adult foreign language education in the country. Welcome, Sarah, to our podcast.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, why don't we start by an introduction? You can tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your teaching experience, and what motivated you to start a business internationally to teach foreign languages.
Sure. So you and I went to AUC together, and I graduated in 2009. So that's a while ago with my master's in teaching English to speakers of other languages.
Yes.
The last semester of graduate school, I got pregnant. And so I spent some years just having babies. We now have four children. And in those years, my husband's job eventually brought us to Azerbaijan. And my kids grew as they do. And I found myself thinking, I would really like to get back into teaching. I had done some like volunteer teaching at various points along the way, as you know, with family. But I just realized I was ready to get to work. And so I had been warned that it is difficult to work for local companies as a foreigner. Just the culture is so different, and it can just be a real challenge. And we had become friends with a couple here, Emin and Sevinj, and the four of us together decided to open our own business. It was actually not quite open. That's not exactly correct. Sevinj's brother had opened the business, but he was moving to Norway with his family, and he offered to let us take it over. So the four of us together said, yes, this is something we would like to do. And that's kind of how it started. Wow. So my husband and our partner, Emin, they work together at this engineering company. And Sevinj, I got to know them separately, actually. I didn't really connect them as married for a while, but she was one of my Azerbaijani teachers. And so I knew she was a good teacher, and her English is excellent. She was an English teacher, but she'd like taken on this Azerbaijani language class. Just, it was unusual for her, but she did it. And so we just decided to go for it. Instead of working for someone else, let's do it ourselves.
Yeah. So
that's what we're doing. And it's different. It's not just teaching. Just today I was thinking, it would be really nice if I could just focus on teaching and not on things like payroll and taxes and all of those other things. But it's a good stretch for me.
That's great. So I love that you're actually working with people from the community, from Azerbaijan, on that business, because you get a lot of insight information about, you know, the system and the culture and what people would like to see and what you should avoid. So that's great. So my next question would be, what are some factors that one should keep in mind when starting a business of, you know, foreign language teaching or any like educational business abroad, because there are like lots of challenges. It's very different than teaching here in the US.
Yes. Just you have to trust your partners. For a lot of reasons, it's really difficult to start something here without a national person. Just the language barrier. How to navigate bureaucracy is unique in each country. And they just like I know how to go, you know, renew my driver's license at the DMV. They know how to do all that stuff here without even thinking about it. Whereas for me, it's already my level of stress for living cross-culturally is already elevated. And then add on to that a whole another level of stress about tax codes and who to trust and how to know if someone's lying to me. Like it's very different. And so you really have to trust the people you're working with. We've heard a lot of stories of people getting burned from untrustworthy, unscrupulous people. and it's sad. So I'm really, we really feel fortunate to have such a good friendship and relationship with our partners.
That's great. And yeah, so, but you know, I think Sarah, also part of the motivation, I would say, to start a business internationally for you is that you actually studied abroad for your master's, and you are a person who's open to cultures and to just learning about people and where they come from and just accepting differences. How do you think your experience in AUC, at the American University in Cairo, and just living in Cairo with people like from a whole different cultural backgrounds, impacted the way that you think and behave and the way you run your business in Azerbaijan?
I think it changed my brain. Like, that's a great question. You know, after I graduated, I was ready to be home. I wanted to go. I wanted to eat Mexican food. I wanted to never leave again. And it took about 2 years. We bought a house. We planned to die in that house. We were like settled. And one day I looked out the front window to the street and I thought, is this the next 40 years of my life? I'm already bored. Like, I, the idea of staying in one place just was horrifying to me.
Yeah.
And I think being educated alongside my Egyptian colleagues was really helpful, really eye-opening. For one, it showed me that I really don't know grammar. Like, my Egyptian colleagues know grammar so much better than me. Even now, that's like the hardest thing for me to teach.
Okay.
And my colleagues here who have had to study English, and yeah, same as at AUC, the Egyptians who have had to study the language could explain the grammar so much more clearly than me. And their instinct for how people of their mother tongue learn and speak languages really helps. And so that was really helpful for me. I remember there was one time in grammar class, I don't remember who the person was, but it was like the final presentation of our semester project or something. And she used a preposition in a way that sounded odd to me, but I was like, I couldn't say why. And I thought it must be correct because she knows her grammar. And it was afterwards that the professor, you know, we did this like, how did you do circle conversation? And he pointed out that preposition. And I was like, oh, I was right. But I still couldn't tell him why. And yeah, so I just really, really appreciated that. And just, yeah, I really appreciated that experience of learning alongside people who are just as qualified, but maybe differently qualified.
So that would take me actually to my next question, which is the fact that when you're teaching English in a foreign country, people are expecting the teachers to be native speakers of the language. And they always want a native speaker of the language. This is like the main criteria for, you know, them just being part of the program and the first question that they usually ask, even though there are many local teachers who are qualified. So how do you kind of like deal with this problem when you are recruiting teachers and kind of like presenting the work that you do to local communities and making sure that people understand the value that local teachers bring to your program? Mm-hmm.
I constantly talk up their qualifications and their skills and their talents. It really actually helps the way we've structured our business that I'm not the one in charge. So my partner Sivinj is the director, and she's the one who talks to students and parents about their needs, their wants, their desires. She's the one who knows all the teachers, knows our availability. And so she is really good at having that conversation and directing people to the best fit for their needs. Because honestly, I'm happy to teach beginning language students, but it's not the best use of my skills. And so, and honestly, we charge more for foreign teachers because we can. One value in our business though is I don't get paid more. I get paid the same as as national teachers. And that's pretty unusual. I don't know if it is unusual around the world, but here it is for sure. But I'm constantly talking up how good the other teachers are. I try to visit, I try to be present. So even when people come for their classes, I'm here and I can say, hi, how are you? I have small talk, especially the kids, you know, they're like very shy, but very fun. And just being here, I think, encourages people that, oh, they must know the language at this place. And we're still growing our business. And honestly, I'm a marketing point. We put me on the stuff, my husband on the stuff. And they're like, you know, if it draws people here, and once they come, they realize that we actually know what we're talking about, not just me, but all of our teachers, they get reassured that they're getting quality instruction.
It's funny because this, I think this is the same everywhere where English is not the main language, but it's a second or a foreign language. Communities always expect to see native speakers either from the US or the UK or Australia, depending on what, you know, English they teach. And, you know, going back to what you said about getting paid the same, this is not the same. This is not the same in other countries. They usually get foreign teachers get paid much higher. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't know how fair that is, honestly, because, you know, again, it has to go back to the qualifications of the person and not just where they're from. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy that you're promoting, you know, your business by looking at the qualifications of the local teachers that you have alongside you and, you know, other native speakers of the language.
Yeah, I'll be honest, finding qualified teachers is difficult, and not just the qualifications, but the personality, a good fit for our company culture. It's difficult. We're always looking on Instagram at competitors' pages and things. And I was looking at this one, and this poor lady, she looked really kind. And I thought, she seems like a really great person. I'd love to be her friend, but her English was not great. And here she is doing this commercial. And I think, you know, it's okay for instructors to not have perfect English. I don't think I'm actually okay with that, because it depends on the level that they're teaching. But the quality of instruction, I think, is super important.
Of course.
And the way that this lady was doing it, I just felt bad for her. I was like, just take it down. It's not good.
You know, because it's also the element of culture. Like, you know, when you're teaching English internationally, there is a lot of like cultural elements that come into play as well. Including, for example, how people usually learn in schools in these countries. Is it like a traditional approach to learning or a more interactive and communicative approach to teaching and learning? And that's also one thing that you have to explain to students, because students might come with this understanding that instruction has to occur in a certain way. They're not accustomed, for example, to group work or to working collaboratively with a partner. But then you have to explain that to them and how effective that is to their language learning and production. Do you see these issues in your...
Yes. So Azerbaijan is a former Soviet republic, and the Soviet style of education is still very much a legacy here. Okay. There's a lot of positives to it, honestly. Students know how to study, like how to memorize. They know how to repeat, like drills. They know how to do drills. And there's a place for that in the classroom. But when they come here, especially the kids, they like to come because learning is fun. It's not like school. That's a big draw. We had one of our teachers gone on maternity leave, and her students are all just waiting for her to come back. And honestly, as a foreigner, having a trusted national staff that I can talk to about these things is really helpful. And Savinj will give me pointers. She'll be like, you have to be this way because they'll expect it, or they won't respect you, or, you know, they won't do what you want them to do unless you're kind of more strict maybe than I would be used to being as an American.
Yeah, I think having an insider is an amazing, amazing way to connect to local communities. So my next question would be, besides running a business of foreign language teaching and learning, how do you establish connections with the local community? How do you like promote your work connected to the outside community, use resources from the community around the school to kind of like incorporate it in your teaching and learning? Mm-hmm. And also maybe invite like community members to like take part in like the different activities. So how do you establish these connections and partnerships?
Yeah, a lot of it is just plain old networking. A couple of weeks ago, they had an event here in Baku called the She Congress, and it was all about women in business. And so Savinj and I went together. It was really well done. I really appreciated it. And I actually was inspired to start a new class for advanced professional women. And so we are reading a book about women in the workplace and discussing it. And because their language is advanced, it's more that on the spot correction and feedback. Yeah. And then we're also doing some vocabulary work, but because it's advanced, they know the grammar. They just need reminders when they make mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's been really interesting, but things like that, having open houses for people to come and meet our teachers and our owners. Yeah, it's a challenge. People, you know, it's a big city, people are busy. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
And the idea of volunteering here is very different than other parts of the world that I've been in. And so making those connections has to be through relationships that are already established, really.
That's great. So Sarah, the pandemic came and kind of like impacted everybody's business, and especially like teaching and learning in different ways. I don't want to say negative, because there are a lot of actually positive sides of the pandemic, especially when it comes to teaching, like, you know, incorporating technology in a more effective manner, being more flexible with our planning in general and management skills, connecting educators from like different parts of the world so that we can work collaboratively while we're in different countries. How has the pandemic affected your work?
The pandemic, it was very difficult for us. They had Azerbaijan had some of the most strict lockdowns that I've heard of around the world. There was weeks broken up by a week here and there where we couldn't leave the house without sending a text message to the government.
Wow.
And for like 2 hours a day is what we were allowed, two or three, depending on which lockdown. It was just really hard. And all the public schools went online to Teams, and the online learning fatigue was real. People didn't want to do anything else online. And so our business basically stopped is what happened. On top of that, Azerbaijan was at war with a neighboring country in the fall of 2020. And so that had martial law, and the internet got turned off. And so even if we wanted to do online classes, we just had a number of challenges during the last 2 years that I hope will never be replicated. And then at the end of that, my family needed to return to the US for a period of time just to reconnect with family. It had been over 3 years. And so our team really was scattered and splintered. The business just basically paused.
Yeah.
So, but now we're back. And everyone's back from maternity leave. And it's kind of a reboot moment where we're all here, we're all ready to work, we're all energized. And so it's actually kind of exciting right now.
Yeah. Are you incorporating, like, you know, inspired by the pandemic, are you like incorporating more technology in your teaching now than before, for example? Because I know like a lot of schools and institutes are incorporating technology just in case something like that happens again in the future, offering some kind of like hybrid teaching modules or some virtual classes, or like conducting professional development for teachers virtually. Are you doing any of that?
So right now it seems like people really want in-person classes.
Yeah.
that's really the demand. And what we found
people
here
take in-person classes more seriously for some reason.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's like more work when you have to go somewhere and pay, and yeah, it's different. But we found that establishing that in-person relationship, once it's established, it's easier to move to online. So yes. I had one private student who sometimes couldn't leave work to come. So we would do it online. And it wasn't as good, honestly, because she was at work in her office and, you know, things going on. But
yeah,
it was better than nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, people here, I have a dream of putting some courses on Udemy or something from our business. That is probably a few years out. But having something locally produced and made, I really value, and I think that the community here really values as well.
That's amazing. Like, you know, just making sure that the option is there, like if you need a class virtually, and just having that in mind for the future as a goal, because I think the culture of every country in the world is changing and moving towards like virtual teaching and learning a little bit. And this actually takes me to my next question, which is your future plans. What are your future plans for your business? And how do you see it in, like, let's say 5 years from now?
Oh, so.
Or like, if you want to just think about like a year from now, like, you know, just being realistic, like what are your future plans?
So right now we are trying to fill our current capacity up. So we have teachers, we have classroom space, and we're just trying to fill it up. We would love to bring on more teachers. Savinj, my partner, is really passionate about teacher training. So we would love to have a teacher training program instituted where people don't have to stay here to teach. I mean, but we would get the pick of the litter, right? We would get to pick the good ones. We'd be like, oh, you're a good teacher in this training program. Would you like to work with us, kind of thing? But just to improve the overall education in this country for language instruction. So we would like a teacher training program in place. I've discovered that I really enjoy teaching IELTS preparation. I didn't think I would, but I do. And it's actually was easier to transition that to online as well. It was more easy than I thought it would be. And a big dream of mine is we're incorporated as an educational training business, right? We're not just an English school. And so I would actually love to work with people in professional development and in helping them launch their own small business. And so right now we're just working on getting our small business, you know, sustainable and up and running. But in the future, I would love to be like a place where people come and find the support they need, not just for their English language goals, but for their bigger life goals. That's what really motivates me. I love to see people achieve their dreams.
I love that. And you know, like I feel like a teacher training institute is like the normal progression of how things go with language programs, because I actually worked with a language school in New York City before, where it was just purely a language school. And then they started a TESOL teacher preparation program, and I was the lead curriculum designer instructor for that class. And it was great because it's just helping teachers, helping teachers from the local community just learn the skills that it takes to teach and learn a foreign language. And many of these teachers were actually coming from other countries. So they were going back to different parts of Asia to just teach. And it was just great. So, and I know this is not the only place. I know like a couple of other places that are doing the same thing, starting as a language school and then expanding their offerings so that they're preparing teachers. And providing professional development for educators so that they're able to carry these skills with them back to their home countries and make a difference in their local communities. Mm-hmm. Sarah, my last question to you would be, actually I have two more questions. The first one is, how do other businesses who are interested in partnering with you or working with you contact you? What would be the best way for them to approach you and stay in touch?
The easiest way is on Instagram, IELTS Studio Baku, or they're always welcome to come visit us at our office in Caspian Plaza. Most people know where that is in the city of Baku. It's easy. We're online on Instagram. That's how everything works here. It's all through Instagram.
So Instagram page, I can provide that information when I'm posting the podcast episode, and they can just message the center and you'll be able to get back to them.
Yep. And it's Sivinj. I'll talk to you. And it's Russian, English, Azerbaijani. She does all three.
Perfect. And my last question to you would be, this is a question I ask everybody who I interview for Universal Narratives. How can we benefit from your experience as a global educator, somebody who's teaching internationally and somebody who's exposed to like different languages, cultures, backgrounds and ethnicities and races? What can we learn from your experience? Or what is one takeaway that we should keep in mind that is particularly related to your own experience?
You know, here at IELTS Studio, we feel like our students become part of our family. And when you're family, you really want to see people accomplish their dreams and goals. And I think it's important to not forget that our students, to treat our students as individuals with value and to always keep their goals in mind, because they're paying us a lot of money to learn English. And they need their dreams are the reason that they're doing it. And that for us is what we keep as the most important thing, that we want to see them accomplish their purposes. And to treat them like family, to treat them like individuals and not just another student or not so like a factory.
Yes, I see what you're saying. It's not like a commercial kind of business, but rather you're establishing a community and you're treating them as family members so that you would help them achieve their dreams.
Yeah. And I think it's easy sometimes, especially with students that you may not like as much, to just like overlook them and not treat them as well, but just to continually have that attitude of support and encouragement for each student, no matter where they are or matter what their personality is like.
That's great. I love that. Is there anything else you want to add, Sarah, before we end?
Azerbaijan is a lovely country and it's easy to come visit. So if you ever come, look us up and we'd love to see you.
I would love to visit one day. There's so many places in the world I would like to visit, and I'm so happy to see you there, working hand in hand with people from the country to make a difference and help people achieve their dreams.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's fun.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And I look forward to us talking again in the future.
For sure.
Bye-bye.